Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Whatever, however you fit into that description, we're glad you did it. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Victor Ching is our guest. Victor is a new friend, and he is a leading expert on using books to market and pre-sell services and products. He's the author of Extreme Revenue Growth, one of the topics we're going to talk about today. He's also the author of a new book called Bookmercial Marketing, and he's our new friend. Victor, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Now, I was talking to the audience about your idea of extreme revenue growth. Now, that's an interesting topic and maybe a bold topic for 2008. What do you think?
Well, you know, in every year, good years and bad, there are always opportunities. And certainly, even in the biggest of recessions, a depression, a lot of big companies were started. So I think there's an opportunity in any kind of environment.
Well, my business was born out of me being downsized. It was a kick in the pants. Back in the late 80s, and when I was downsized, Victor, at that moment I was actually experiencing a depression.
Okay.
You know, my own depression.
Right.
And so I said, you know what, I got to get going here. I had two kids and two mortgages.
Well, nothing like a mortgage to provide motivation.
That's right. And a couple of teenagers, that'll do it too. But I'm glad to hear you. I'm glad you said what you did about in every challenging economy, there still are opportunities. And the thing I remind people about, Victor, is that somewhere today, somebody is buying something from somebody else right now. And so we might as well get our share of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do we do that? How do we, you know, especially in a year like this year, and everybody, you know, this has been an odd kind of an economically challenging year, Victor, because everybody isn't having a challenge this year. Some people are doing okay.
That's absolutely true. I always like to put it in context. If you look at the size of the U.S. economy, you know, last year it was $13.7 trillion was the GDP. $13.7 trillion, Jim. That's a lot of zeros.
Which is more than double what it was in 1990.
Yeah, and if you look at all the economists, their expectation for this year, 2008, it's still about $13.72 trillion. You know? It's not going to be huge growth. They're expecting, you know, less than 1% growth. But the key point, message here is it's not shrinking. It's just as large as last year. And I think you're right, Jim. You know, what happens is if you listen to the headlines, they're really focusing on the folks who are not doing well in this economy, and because, you know, good news sort of doesn't sell newspapers anymore.
10,000 airplanes landed safely is not news, is it?
No, it's not.
One airplane has a little bit of a twitch in its landing gear, that's in all the news.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right, and so that's you, and you make the point I've been making for months now, and that is I've been telling my audience, quit listening to the talking heads, and start listening more to your customers.
Absolutely, you can never go wrong listening to the customers. That's for sure.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? What are some of the Victor ideas on how we can have extreme revenue growth?
Sure. I think it starts within yourself, as we talked about, and I won't belabor the point. But if you're looking for opportunities, you'll tend to find them. If you assume there are no opportunities, you'll tend to ignore them. But getting beyond sort of your individual mindset.
So you subscribe to the Henry Ford philosophy of if you think you can or if you think you can't, either way you're right.
Absolutely, absolutely. And especially so in this kind of economy where there are problem areas, but there are also opportunity areas. And it's really a question of, you know, which ones do you choose to pay attention to. And personally, I tell people to pay attention to the opportunities, because if you're just looking for problems, there's no shortage of them, right? So.
Well, and the other thing is sometimes, you know, the old thing about one man's garbage is another man's treasure, you know, wherever you see a problem, that might actually be an opportunity for you if you're not so invested in the problem.
Well, you know, I always tell my clients, if you see people complaining, run to them and listen and try to figure out why. There's money in there somewhere.
Exactly. Buffett says, when there's blood in the street, that's when you should be invested.
Well, he's a smart guy, so I'm not going to challenge him with that.
There you go. So what else can we do?
Well, I think the most important thing in this kind of economy where it can be kind of choppy is you got to be flexible, you know, And what you want to do is you want to follow where the money is flowing. Now, $13.7 trillion, there's a lot of money flowing out, and you got to look for it. And the key is to be flexible in making adjustments in your business. So if you're in a happen to be in a part of the economy that is factually not doing well, not just because everyone thinks it's not doing well, but actually physically
like,
is.
Like if you're a mortgage broker.
Yeah, exactly right. That definitely came to mind. If you're in mortgage, if you're in banking, certain big sectors of real estate are having a lot of problems. If you're in one of those areas, or a lot of your clients are in one of those areas, and so they're sort of being impacted sort of by association, then you have to be flexible and adapt. There's still a lot of money out there, and you have to be willing to move where you, not literally necessarily move, but move where you focus in terms of getting new business. And so I've been certainly telling folks that if you have customers who are negatively impacted by the economy, then go target a different kind of customer, a customer that's doing better. And I've certainly done some of that in my own business and encourage others to do the same.
You know, when I was coming up as a young pup many years ago, Victor, I actually grew up in the marketplace at a time when you could develop a product or a strategy or a service or some kind of an angle, and you could eat off that for a while. You could get at least a year off of it, maybe five, maybe even a generation, maybe even pass it on to your kids and not change all that much. That was the way you could do things in a lot of the 20th century.
Sure.
In the 21st century, it's not like that. And so the way I've been saying that is, the way I've been trying to address how things have changed, and I'd like your thoughts on this, is I've been telling my audience this. It's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you cannot fall in love with how you do it. What do you think?
I think that's very fair, and I think the idea that you have to be adapt and sort of be listening to the market, I think, is a good one. And I always have this joke when people ask me, you know, what do you do for a living, Victor? Well, I sell what people want to buy. That's the industry I'm in. You know, and that changes. And sometimes it's good to change. So I definitely listen to that idea.
Hold on to that thought. We're great. Talking with Victor Cheng, folks. He's our new friend. He's the author of Extreme Revenue Growth, also the author of Bookmercial Marketing. I'm going to ask him when we come back to explain, what is a bookmercial?
Great.
Stay with us. 20 after. Good job, Victor.
Great, thanks.
Well done.
I like your outro music, by the way. I'm dancing over here.
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. Stand by. Here we go. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website's thesmallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find all the things that we do here, including the show and the archive, the Brain Trust and the newsletter and the blog, et cetera, et cetera. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base is askjim.biz, askjim.biz, where you get Small Business Answers Now. Check those out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you. We built them so that it would cost you nothing to be able to have access to all the information, like the information you're getting from our new friend and our guest this half hour, Victor Cheng, who's the author of Extreme Revenue Growth and Bookmercial Marketing. Victor, give us your websites and tell us how we can get your books.
Sure. Easiest way to get my books is on Amazon.com, and my website is www.bookmercial.com. That's bookmercial.com.
What is a bookmercial?
A bookmercial is a special, unique format of a book that's designed to pre-sell a complex product or service while still educating the customers on the basics of how to buy in your industry.
Now, that doesn't sound like something that everybody can use.
Not everybody. It's not appropriate for every business. It's really sort of best suited for two kinds of companies. Companies that either want to generate publicity with the media, and I've certainly been having some success there. And then the other type of company is when you're selling something that's complicated, confusing, anything that sort of changes a lot, where, you know, if it takes more than 10, 20 minutes to sell somebody on your product because you have to explain a lot, then you start getting into the zone of where a bookmercial starts making sense.
Now, so what is the, how long would a, but when you say bookmercial in those cases, you're not necessarily talking about a regular, typical bookstore book, are you?
Actually, I am. You know, all the book commercials.
But it doesn't have to be like that.
It does. I think the principle behind it doesn't have to be like that. In our case, when we work with clients, they're all basically indistinguishable from the books you would find at, you know, say, at Barnes & Noble.
But the reason I say that, though, is, you know, Dan Pointer, the self-publishing guru of the world, says, who's a friend of ours, says that a bookstore is the worst place in the world to sell a book. and his point is your book should be sold in communities where people who, where the people who like what you have to say.
Absolutely.
In other words, if you're a gardener, if you're in the gardening business, you're in the landscaping business, you'd write a book on your philosophy of landscaping, but it would never be in a Barnes & Noble book, a bookstore, but it would be available to people who are into landscaping.
Absolutely. Most
does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. You know, you want to be where the customers are. And I think one of the reasons why most business owners don't publish books, at least not until recently, is that they're under sort of the false assumption that it's got to go into a bookstore. It's a tough bar.
Okay, so Victor, how do we take this to the next level?
Well, in terms of getting started with the process, or
I think
the first idea is to figure out if it makes sense in your business. And generally, you know, if you were to talk for about an hour and sort of just even just transcribe that conversation and turn it into a book, a booklet, or even book commercial, you know, that ends up being about like a 40 or 50 page, you know, paperback book. So if you end up talking to your clients for, you know, an hour to 2 hours, and you're getting very close to, you know, definitely being worth putting something down on paper. And so I think the first part is figuring out where it fits into your business. And for most of the folks that we work with, I generally recommend early. You know, a book commercial is very powerful in establishing credibility early on in the sales process. And it's very good as an educational tool. So a lot of the clients we work with, they don't sell the book at all. You know, they make it available for sale.
They
give it away. Yeah.
I mean,
if you're selling something expensive, you know, $5,000, $1,000, $10,000, we have clients who are selling things that are a couple hundred thousand dollars, in some cases millions. Give it away. You know, if it'll get you in the door, and that's sort of what we end up using it for, and what a lot of our clients end up using it for.
Well, you know, another thing, and we've talked about this before, and I think you'll agree with me, is just short of writing a book about the topic, it's just writing anything about your topic.
Absolutely.
Like in a blog or a column, being an expert columnist for the newspaper or whatever, just being seen as an expert. That's the kind of thing that sets you apart from your competitors, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And in my book, Book Commercial Marketing, one of the things I talk about is the importance of being an authority figure in your field. And certainly publishing a book is not the only way. There are like seven ways to do it. And I think when you think across all seven ways, there's certainly no shortage of opportunities for everyone. It's definitely accessible to virtually everyone for any business.
Well, see, if you blog on your topic for a year, and you go back and put all that stuff together, that's a book.
Oh, that's like two books, easily. That's
okay,
definitely two books.
Hey, you sold me. Hey, Victor, give us that website again.
Sure, it's www.bookmercial.com, BookMercial.com.
Hey, Victor, enjoyed having you here. Good job today. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely will. Be a pleasure.
We've enjoyed it. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye.
King, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to take a quick one and be right back after these messages. We're going to talk about retail on the other side. Stay with us.
I need you.